always a privilege to come and share the Word of God with you. Today we are going to talk about a subject that contains a story that you and me have come across in the Bible several occasions. I have. As a walkthrough Bible instructor, I've seen that. I've known the story very well. But then I haven't considered some details that I want to bring to you. And this details is about Goshen. Goshen, spelled G-O-S-H-E-N, Goshen. So today my topic is Goshen, God's deliverance and provision. Goshen, God's deliverance and provision. Now, this story that I'm going to read shortly, should remind you and me as to what we need to do in times like where we are in our nation, in our world, where there is a pandemic and where there is fear, anxiety, where there are uncertainties, where we don't know what to do next. I believe this story and this message should be able to help you to make that move that you have to make, to take that decisive actions that you need. Because in times like this, sometimes we hesitate, sometimes we worry, sometimes we don't know, sometimes we postpone, sometimes we procrastinate, sometimes we hide under the guise of what is going on, but we forget that we have to live and that we have a God who is on our side. So join with me to read this Bible passage. It's from Genesis chapter 45, verse 4 to 13. That is my key passage. Genesis chapter 45, verse 4 to 13. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, NASB. And I read, it said, "Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'Please come closer to me.' And they came closer. And he said, 'I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Now, therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Verse 9, hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall live in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children, and your children's children, and your flock, and your herds, and all that you have." Continue from verse 11. "There I will also provide for you, for there are still 5 years of famine to come, and you and your household and all that you have will be impoverished. Behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth which is speaking to you. Now you must tell my father of all my splendor in Egypt and all that you have seen, and you must hurry and bring my father down here." Hallelujah. The background to this story is very simple. Joseph had been sold into Egypt, and he has prophesied that there's going to be 7 years of famine, and he has already started making a provision. And this famine, as it went on for the first 2 years, his brothers and his family still live in Canaan, and they have also experienced that famine. So the world at the time in that area was experiencing famine. Everybody was experiencing it. So Joseph was saying that, look, what you've experienced is just the beginning. There are many more years to come. So I want you to understand that currently we are in a pandemic which has affected the world as we know it. And many nations have been affected. Indeed, all the nations have been affected in one way or the other. Economic collapse and political unrest sometimes, and fear and anxiety in people's lives. But I want you to understand that what we are going through right now is not different from what happened during Joseph's time. But in those times, we also need to know and understand that we don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what is going to happen the next year, the next 5 years. We have no insight to that. But at least there is a God in heaven who has an insight to that. And his provision is what Joseph actually brought to his people, was revealed to him, and he brought that to his people. So his brothers went to Egypt to buy grain. And Joseph was saying that, you know what, there's more years to come of this difficult pandemic and famine period that everybody will experience. So there is a provision for you. So what is Goshen? Because as I told you earlier, my title is Goshen, God's deliverance and provision. God's deliverance and provision. This message is going to be in two parts. We'll continue next week, but I will bring to you, I will at least start you off. What is Goshen? Goshen was a district in Egypt where Jacob and his family settled during the whole period of their sojourn, in which they remained till the time of the Exodus. Effectively, they lived in Goshen for about 430 years in total. They lived in that land. What is Goshen? It was also called the land of Goshen and the land of Ramses, because the Pharaoh's holiday home lies within its borders. Goshen lay on the east of the River Nile, away from its irrigation canals, a distance of about 900 square miles. It's not such a large place, about half the size of the United Kingdom, probably. So to the Egyptians, Goshen was not highly valued, perhaps because of its location, because it was away from the canals, away from the fertile lands, away from all that was going on in their land. Goshen was away from it. So the Egyptians did not highly value it. As far as they're concerned, it was of not much use. But to Joseph, and later realized by Pharaoh, it was the best of the land. Goshen was the best of the land, as far as Joseph was concerned, where some of the king's cattle were later kept. So God is making a provision and a deliverance for you. And that place is called Goshen. Maybe you haven't thought about it. Maybe nobody has thought about it. It's away from your present habitation, your present realities. Where you are right now, God has made a provision for you that he wants you to begin to think about it. Goshen was a pastoral land, especially suited to the shepherd's community and sufficient for the Israelites who settled there and prospered and were separated from the main body of the Egyptians. So God is going to prosper you in the midst of this pandemic. You've got to be on God's wavelength. You've got to be on God's agenda. You've got to be on God's perspective to be able to realize this. Unless you begin to take God serious in times like this, in this pandemic period, and in a period like this, that everybody, or most people, maybe at the moment, I think that 1 in 5 people are very, very fearful of the virus. 2 in 4 are probably afraid, and the rest are not sure. Only a few probably are daring and couldn't care less. Whatever the situation is in your level of fear or your level of confidence, I want you to know that God has reserved for his children the best of the land, and that is called Goshen. In the middle of Egypt, God has provided for you. In the middle of the pandemic, going on 2 years into it, God has made a provision for you. And for us, 6 months into it, I just want you to understand that God has made a provision for you in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Goshen was a pastoral land, as I said, suited for the people. Now, why was it suited for the people? Because the people of Israel were shepherds, and that was all that they needed. They didn't need agricultural land because they couldn't farm. They didn't know what to do. So this was the best one. So I just want you to know that God is providing for you what you have in your hand. What you have in your hand, God is going to tailor make something to suit it for you. So don't throw it away. You have to hold on to it. So let's talk about Goshen, the land of God's preservation and deliverance. Goshen is also God's preservation and deliverance. God wants his people to come closer to him so that he will divinely preserve them. This is more so urgent in times of difficulty, in times of famine, in times of pandemic. God wants you to draw closer so that he will be able to preserve you. For God had gone forward to prepare for your needs. He's gone forward to prepare for you a place and to keep you alive with great deliverance. God wants to hold on to and maintain and rescue and deliver, to preserve and deliver the remnant, his people. So Goshen is the land of God's preservation and deliverance. Now let us refer to Genesis chapter 45, verse 4 to 7, as we read earlier. And I want to bring your mind to it. So then Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come closer to me." And they came closer. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now do not be grieved or angry with yourself because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years to come in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance." Hallelujah. God wants to keep us alive by a great deliverance. And you can see that in this small passage, twice it was repeated. God has sent me to preserve for you. To preserve for you. So God has preserved for you. Once something is repeated, take note. It is important. God has preserved for you. And God is ready to, preserve for you and to deliver you and to keep you as his remnant. But then you have to learn to come closer to God. You have to learn to come closer to God. Say, "Please come closer to me." It is when you get closer to God in times like this that you will know him as your father. God is looking for intimacy. Some of you during this pandemic, you've fallen away or you are falling away. Some of you two are standing still, or most of you two probably are pushing forward and want to get closer to you. That is the best way to go, because God wants you to draw closer to him in times like this, so that you know him as father, so you know him as Abba, so that you know him as Papa, so that you know him as Daddy. That closeness, so that you can sit on his lap and he will provide for you, he will protect you, and he will reserve for you a remnant. That is what God wants to do for you in terms of this, because he wants to keep you alive by a great deliverance. You see, divine preservation comes from the root word hesed. Hesed is spelled H-E-S-S-E-D, hesed, which means to incubate, or brood over, like a hen hides its chick under its wings. Yes, God wants to hide you. God wants to incubate on you. In times of difficulty, God is incubating on you. God is heseding over you. God is making sure that you are warm when it is cold out there. God is making sure that you are secure under his wings when it is dangerous out there. God is making sure that you are under him. So if you move away, you are actually, exposed to the element. You don't have divine preservation. You don't have God's protection over your life. So today, if you are backsliding, I want to provoke you. Because I want to provoke, if you are not where you were before, when God was hot in your life, when you woke up and you want to pray to God, you want to read your Bible, you want to apply it to your life, you want to sing praises to him, and you want to gather with people in church, if you are not there anymore, you are backsliding. And you can argue with me as long as the cock crows, till the cock crows, it doesn't matter. The reality is that you are backsliding and you know it. There's no denying of that fact. You see, so the divine preservation will come when you and me come and hide under God's wing. Joseph was literally a type of Christ. And he said to his brothers in Genesis chapter 45, verse 8 to 9, a type means represented. It's a supernatural, it's a divine, it's a spiritual thing that God says, look, this person represents what is to come. It's a shadow of what is to come. It's a type. So he was a type of Christ. So he represents Jesus out there. So Genesis chapter 45, verse 8 and 9 reads, now therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his household, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You can see here his repetitive. Each time he's repeating something, he's telling you that take note, this is important. God has made me a father to Pharaoh. God has made me the lord of the whole of Egypt. This is significant for you who believe in God, for you who keeps, who is still trusting in God. This is very significant, and we have to take note of that. Joseph is here saying to all his brothers and family to come to Goshen to receive spiritual covering. Come to Goshen and receive spiritual covering, which he was already offering to Pharaoh. He was already offering to Pharaoh. He said, God has made me a father to Pharaoh. God has made me a father to Pharaoh. You see, here, remember that God has made him a father to Pharaoh. Remember, Joseph was only 39 years old when his brother met him. That was 22 years after he has been sold into Egypt. He was only 17 when he was sold. So 39 years old, and he was a father to Pharaoh. Hear that? He was a father to Pharaoh. And Joseph was a godly person. And because of a godly person, and because the Lord was with him, the presence of God was with him, he carried an anointing, and that anointing was a divine preservation and a divine covering for Pharaoh. So Pharaoh was living under the grace of Joseph, the Israelite, who was the prince of Egypt at the time. So here, to Joseph's father, he specifically mentioned and repeated the phrase, God has made me Lord of Egypt. So for him to mention that he wanted his natural father to come under his covering, for God has made him a pope. Hear me again. God has made him a pope. He wasn't carrying a mitre. He has made him a papa to Pharaoh. And he has made him a bishop or overseer of all Egypt. Now, wake up. Yes, you are hearing me right now. Joseph was the pope of the whole of Egypt. He was the papa. Pope means papa. He said, God has made me the papa to Pharaoh. And he has made me the bishop or the lord or the overseer, same word, of all Egypt. So he was overseeing that. He was the bishop of Egypt. He was carrying God's anointing in an ungodly land, and he was a bishop of the country. That is fantastic. This is not a matter of age or bloodline or denomination, but who God has anointed you to be, right? So you don't have to be a papa or offer a spiritual covering or bring divine preservation based on your denomination. It is because of the anointing of who God has made you to be. Hallelujah. Joseph pointed out to his brothers that what he was offering them was God's supernatural provision to come under his umbrella of protection, umbrella of refuge, umbrella of rest, and a blessing. This is incredible. Come to Goshen means come under my umbrella of protection, my umbrella of refuge, my umbrella of rest, and my umbrella of blessings. Literally meaning, come and receive spiritual covering from me. Because his dad must be spiritual. His brothers, they couldn't have been spiritual for what they did to sell him because of jealousy and anger, and to do all the things that they wanted to, even murder him. Some suggested, some were upset that he was only sold and not married. So and for them to hide a lie for 22 years, they couldn't be that spiritual, my brothers, my sisters. But somehow along the line, Joseph kept his spirituality intact, and he grew closer to God in times like that. So as he pointed out to them, he said, now make the move. So today, I want to encourage you that God wants you to begin to make a move. Begin to change your present realities. Begin to take some bold actions and decisions that you need to make that you have been holding back. Begin to do something. You see, the whole world said, oh, we don't know what is going to happen, but we can't plan. Hang on a minute. We got to still plan. Otherwise, life will come to a standstill and we will sit there and die. You know what Joseph was telling them? Do not go there, because there's 5 more years. When you stay in Canaan, you are going to die. So we have to move away from Canaan and go to Goshen, where we can come under God's protection, where we can have a spiritual covering. So if you are staying home and you are not hearing me, I want you to hear me right now. If you don't understand, hear me right now. For you in South Street Baptist Church, Glenn, we have to learn to be Bible-believing Christian. We've got to learn to come under spiritual covering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So think for a moment about Jacob, who lived in Canaan, the land of promise, all his life with his family. Making that new move was a big deal. To make that new move was a big deal. You've lived in that situation for a long time. You've been in that condition for a long time. You've been in that situation where you are being troubled, where you are being famined. You've been in that situation, that job situation that you know. Come on, you've had enough. You got to make that move. But then because you are afraid, because you think, oh God, if I lose my job, I don't know how I'm going to pay my mortgage, how I'm going to pay my rent. But you are a child of God. I want you to understand that God has made a provision for you. God has set aside the best of the land, Goshen, for you. And you've got to start making that move. Because it is surely a big deal, but you still have to make that move. Jacob needed God's presence to be with him, to give him the confidence to make that change. So today, the solution for us and what you and me need to do is to ask God's presence to be upon us. If we are afraid, if we are worried, if we are not bold, if we are not confident, if we are hesitating, if we are confused, ask for God's presence to be upon you so that you can make that change. Some of you need to make a change in your jobs. Some of you need to make a change, an adjustment in your family. Some of you need to make a change and say, look, I'm not having this. I'm not going to live in this farming in my house for 2 years, and it's going to last 5 more years to come. I need to make that change to go to Goshen. Some of you need to sit down and have serious conversation with your family and say, we need to make a change. Some of you need to sit down and make serious conversation with your husband or with your wife, or you have to make a serious conversation with your business partners, make serious conversation with your employers, make serious conversation with your managers and team leaders, and make adjustment and say, it is time to move to Goshen, because God is pouring out his spirit upon you to be able to do that. So God's presence upon you when you decide to make the move is what makes anything possible. When God's presence comes upon you, when you decide to make the move, he will make everything possible. The impossible will become possible. Unless you are ready to make that move, nothing is going to happen. Unless you are ready to be bold and make those adjustments, nothing is going to happen. Unless you are saying, God, I've had enough of where I am. My business is not working. I'm not going to sit down to see it collapse on me. I have to make that move, find new clients, do new advertisement, redefine and redesign my product and sell it. Nothing is going to happen. You need to do something. You cannot continue to do the thing that you've been doing all along and expect to have a different result. That is insanity. You have to do something different. And here, another way that You and me need to look at Joseph's statement. It's what God always has been saying as a promise to his people. When he, God, requires us or requires something of us that is humanly impossible. Sometimes God requires something of us that is humanly impossible. Because making that move, you look around and think, oh God, that is not possible. Or making that move to do that investment, you think, oh God, it's not possible. Making that move to ask for that money, you think it's humanly impossible. You've got to make that move. And when you make that move, God says that, look, I will be with you. Though with man, this is impossible, with God, all things are possible. God is saying, I will be with you. It is important for us to see that it is the presence of God that links us to the impossible. When the presence of God is upon you, it will link you to the impossible. For example, God will say many times the most repeated verses or phrase in the Bible is, I will be with you. I mean, go for my presence will be with you. And he will say that his name will be Emmanuel, God with us. And we said, go make disciples of all nations and I'll be with you to the close of the ages. This is an assurance that God is going to be with you. Remember also that Goshen has already provided for you. Remember also that God has already provided for you in Goshen, the best of the land before he issued the command to go. Before Jesus says, go and make the move and go to Goshen, he's already provided for you the best of the land. Before that command came that you should go. Yes, Jesus Christ has already provided for us a harvest. And when he says go, he poured his spirit upon us so that we can go. The greatest commission, go, go, go. His spirit is needed because the command says go. And then when they went, the place was so great. So before he issued that command, he says, hurry and do not delay to move into that land. So we read one of the passages that I want to read to you so that we can bring this message to some point, and then we will stop. When we read Genesis chapter 45, verse 16 to 21, Genesis 45, verse 16 to 21 from New American Standard Bible, said, now when the news was heard in Pharaoh's house that Joseph's brothers had come, it pleased Pharaoh and his servants. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this, load your beast and go to the land of Canaan and take your father and your household and come to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt and you will eat the fat of the land. Now you are ordered. Hear that? Now you are ordered. Do this. Take wagons from the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives and bring your father and come. Do not concern yourself with your goods, for the best of the land of all Egypt is yours. Then the sons of Israel did so. That means Jacob. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the command of Pharaoh and gave them provisions for the journey. Hey, this is powerful. Here you see that, Pharaoh himself was repeating the best of the land. The best of the land, the best of the land of Egypt. And he said, I want you to go. You are ordered. Yes, order. You are ordered. It means you are commanded to go. You have no choice. You have no excuse. You can't complain anymore. You can't debate anymore. You are ordered. Do not let your possessions hold you back. Because they were worried, oh gosh, we have so much possessions. We have our children. We have all those. And Pharaoh says, look, bring your children. Bring everything that you have. So that means God is, his order to you includes your household. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be saved, you and your household. When God provides for you, your household is included. Included. It's an all-inclusive possession. So don't let your current realities or the mistakes that you have made in life, your present detours, things you have done wrong, etc., hold you back from making the move to Goshen. Sometimes we say, oh no, God, I'm not righteous enough. Oh God, I'm not good. You know that I'm a sinner. You know I do this. You know that I do this. We give all the excuses and we stay in Canaan. But when you stay in Canaan, there's 5 more years of famine coming and you are going to die. Why would you want to stay there? Just to die because of your possessions? You don't want to come closer to have a divine protection? You don't want to come closer to God? because of your possession, because of your money, because of your cars, your houses, because of what you think you have that is valued. Hang on a minute. You've trained a clock back 6 months ago, and you were so afraid in your room, and your possessions meant nothing. Your possession couldn't, deliver you. Your money couldn't save you. You were all afraid to die. And if you're dead, there is no room for you to think anymore of some possessions. So do not let these things hold you back. Instead, begin to see God's provision and speak into it and make that move now. You are ordered. That is what Pharaoh says. You are ordered. I like that. This makes sense to me. That means hurry up, get up. Don't mess about. You are ordered. Now, let me bring my last passage to you, and then we'll bring this definitely to a close. It's Genesis chapter 46, verse 28 to 34. Genesis chapter 46, verse 28 to 34. Now, he sent Judah before him. That means we are talking about Jacob. When he was ready to move here, you see, he had sons. The older one was not Judah, it was Reuben. Yet he sent Judah before him to Joseph to point out the way before him to Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. Joseph prepared his chariots and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel. Look at the word that they are using there. Now they are not mentioning Jacob, they are mentioning Israel, the father Israel. As soon as he appeared before him, he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a long time. Verse 30, then Israel said to Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen your face, that you are still alive. Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, I will go up and tell Pharaoh, and I will say to him, my brothers and father's household who were in the land of Canaan have come to me, and the men are shepherds, for they have been keepers of livestock, and they have brought their flock and their herds and all that they have with them. When Pharaoh calls you and say, what is your occupation? You shall say, your servants have been keepers of livestock from our youth even until now, both we and our fathers, that you may live in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is loathsome to the Egyptians. That is also something that I may have to unfold to you if time permits me. But I just want you to also understand that here from this point, as Jacob made the move, his name is referred to as Israel. That is the name that God gave to him. When he was a young man and messing about, and God rescued, he had an encounter with God. God changed his name and said, now you are Israel, the Prince of Israel, Prince of God. That is what God was saying. So as you make the move, hear this, Judah should go before you. When you decide to make the move, Judah means praise. Praise should go before you. So anytime you are making a very bold move, a very major decision, let praise go before you. Worship is that the affirmation of our trust, our honor, and our praise of our God. Praise, or Judah, declares his our God's majesty and releases his supernatural power and presence upon us. Whenever we make that big move, praise should go forward. Praise should go before us. Judah, which is praise, will change the prevailing environment and atmosphere and remove any doubt from your mind. When you begin to praise God, when you begin to praise God, when you are making a big move, even when you begin to decide that this is what I'm going to do, it doesn't matter what your decision is, to get married or decision is to get a new job, get a new house. Once you made that decision, make sure that Judah, praise, is that which will lead you into that place. Why? Because you are affirming your trust, your honor, and your praise in God. Why? Because you are attracting and creating an atmosphere of God in your journey's lives, or in your life's journey. You are creating that atmosphere that every step you are taking You are releasing God's presence. You are releasing and you are creating that supernatural atmosphere in this. And when you go, and when you get to Goshen, your true identity and purpose being Israel will be revealed. That is, your true identity will be realized. Because where you are sitting, sometimes you are not being valued. Sometimes you are not being appreciated. People don't see who you are until you have made that change in your life. Your true identity, your true purpose, your true value will not come to light or will not be evident. So once Israel move on to Goshen, a new nation and a new people was born, right? So the nation of Israel was born in Goshen because he was a Jacob in Canaan. But when we moved to Goshen, Israel was born and the people of Israel was born. From that time onwards, either they are called the Hebrews, meaning the nomadic shepherds, or they were called Israel, people of Israel. That is that, because prior to that, you don't hear words like that. You see, God talks about my people. Now, there's a new nation, a new people has been born. For God will meet you there in Goshen. Joseph was there to meet them. God will meet you there. Joseph, I said, was a type of Christ. Jesus will be there to meet you. So those who have not taken notice of your presence, those who have not valued your skill set or who you are, will soon notice that you are in Goshen. They will soon notice that God's provision and the best of the land is where you dwell. Because the gracious hand of the Lord is upon you, he will prosper you. He will prosper you. The people of Israel lived on that land and they prospered during the time of Joseph. So to conclude this matter, I will say, where is